Okay, this is February 8th, the Tree Commission Audit Committee. We'll start. I'm Charles Barr, the chairman.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Tommy, you want to go ahead and go through them?
Since the last Tree Commission meeting, our office has released 7 reports. We'll start off with report 874. This is a special report on Shands Jacksonville. This report was done at the request of the council president to look at the financial conditions faced by Shands Jacksonville Medical Center. This report and presentation does not represent an audit or an attestation conducted pursuant to governmental auditing standards. But we do believe the report provides relevant information to address the request from the city council president. The background, I'll go through kind of quickly. The city has a contract with Shands to provide indigent care to residents of Duval County. In the most recent audited financial statements for the year ended 6/30/2023, that's Shands audited financial statements, there were financial concerns disclosed. Specifically, per Shands audited financial statements, the net position decreased by $53.6 million. This was it was from $286.2 million down to $232.6 million as of June 30, 2023, respectively. The main factor that led to the Shands not being in compliance was the debt service coverage ratio as of June 30, 2023. The debt service coverage ratio is a comparison of annual income compared to annual debt payment, which is an indicator of an entity's ability to make future debt payments. So as a result of that, we were asked to look at the Shands agreement, their ability. We looked at the background of the Shands indigent care, and this is a long presentation, so I don't know how I know we have 30 minutes, so how in depth you want me to get.
Well, you got 7 of them in 30 minutes. You can't go too much in depth.
Right, exactly. But just to give you some background, the original agreement at the time it was called University Medical Center, later became Shands Jacksonville Medical Center. The original agreement was approved by Ordinance 81551381. And it was to provide medical treatment to indigent patients in Duval County, those who couldn't pay for their medical care. And the city agreed to provide funding to partially offset the cost of the medical treatment. And then Ordinance 8478-800 amended the original agreement. It basically defined the level and type of income to be used to determine eligibility assistance and based on the federal poverty guidelines. Let's see. The indigent health care agreement between the city and Shands is set to end March 24th of 2028. Basically, who qualifies? Duval County resident. They have to provide 2 proofs of residency, income up to 200% of the Hill-Burton income amount based on family size, up to 100% full charity, a sliding scale between 100% and 200%. There's 6 different partial pay categories that Shands has to go through. The funding provided by the city to Shands is to include, but it's not limited to, the level of hospital's indigent care patient load, actual cost incurred by the hospital to comply with the agreement, rate of inflation in the healthcare industry, level of obligation of city, county to provide for indigent health care services. Just jumping to what we found. Okay. Bear with me. There's a lot of paper here. So.
You know what page you're on?
I am on page 2. Actually, I'm kind of jumping from the report to Kim, the council auditor. Presented this to the finance committee, and she had a PowerPoint presentation, and The PowerPoint presentation follows along with the report. So I am right now I'm on page 3 of the report. Also, that was caused a little bit of, you know, that for the reasons for the review, let's see. So the financial condition of Shands Jacksonville, there's a decrease in net position. Like I said, the payor funding mix, in other words, how much money was brought in, how much they're paying out, workforce cost pressure, inmate health care costs, financial ratings, and then outlook beyond. Also included in this, if an inmate needs medical care more than what the group that the sheriff has contracted with to provide care at the jail, and they're transported to Shands, then that's also paid for out of this fund, out of these dollars. So that adds a little bit more of pressure to Shands. And even if an inmate, for example, is transported to Shands and he's discharged from the jail while he's in the hospital, say his sentence has run out, for any reason, this fund will continue paying for that for the inmate until he's released. So it's not like, okay, he's released, they can now stop paying, and it goes to either his insurance or.
And he's not necessarily indigent either.
Correct.
He's just.
He came in as an inmate, and they take care of him until he gets out. And one thing to keep in mind, Shands operates as a safety net hospital to cover all the indigent care, which creates an inherent financial pressure that not all hospitals experience to the same magnitude. And one thing that was in their financial statements, you know, them being in non-compliance with the debt service coverage ratio, in their financial statement, their auditors wrote this, that this compliance does not result in the event of a default as of June 30, 2023. If the requirement is not met for 2 consecutive years, it could be. And bond agreements are like that. They require certain conditions to be met all throughout the life of the bond. And so basically what happened was, Shands, think of it as, you know, we talk about fund balance with the city. Think of it as their fund balance taking a negative hit of $53.6 million. So it went from 286 to 232. I mentioned to you about inmate health care. And the city's required to provide the health care for the inmates. Moody's downgraded the credit rating to a B, capital B, BA1, capital B, little A1, and changed the outlook to negative. And Fitch also changed the rating, or actually kept the same credit, rating of triple B, but downgraded the outlook to negative. So we looked at all of this, and the reason for this is they used money to build the Shands North campus, or this North campus. So the North Hospital is currently operating at break even, and it's expected that when additional beds are available, apparently, I think they're going through an expansion now out there, and it's complete. It's currently to be complete, I believe, in 2025, that the North Hospital will provide a positive impact to Shands because it's not in the same position. Where Shands is your level, you know, trauma center here on 8th Street. That's where everybody goes. So some things that we talked about to consider to come up with a dedicated funding source. There is no surtax currently available in Duval County. There is a surtax that the state provides for it's called the Indigent Care Surtax and County Public Hospital Surtax. We're the only county that's not allowed to levy that because we're consolidated. The others are not. So in order to find a dedicated funding source, we would, and looking at the Indigent Care and Trauma Center surtax, it would require going to the legislature to, number one, allow us to be able to try to get it passed. And then we would fall under the population of 800,000 or more. It would take an extraordinary vote of the city council or voter approval in a countywide referendum. And the surtax couldn't exceed 0.5%. It would be estimated just for like fiscal year 23-24, it would estimate to bring in $130 million if that were to be. And there are other parameters that would need to be met on that as well. So currently right now, the Indigent Care and Trauma Center, I believe Hillsborough County is the only county that's really doing this. And another thing to do, we talked about possibly is there could be a more detail for agreement calculating the contribution to Shands. We could come up with what percentage of the cost of service is the contribution intended to cover. Should inmate health care costs be valued and funded different from indigent care? And should the amounts be agreed to for multiple years at once to assist Shands and the city in planning?
You ever thought about the sheriff's office paying for when they send an inmate? Assuming the sheriff's office pays for their medical.
They pay for the services at the jail, for the medical service at the jail. But I believe once they go, once they leave the jail and go to Shands, then it becomes the city's responsibility. Minutes goes by fast. That is what we had covered in the Shands report. There are options out there, and they just need to come up with a plan.
Do we need to make a motion to accept that? I'm good with it.
Yes, sir. We'll go to 726C. Follow up on the municipal code compliance division revenue audit. It was released January 11th of 2024. This is 726C. So this is our third follow-up. This is our third follow-up on the municipal code compliance. The original audit had 12 issues identified in the audit. There were three remaining issues before this follow-up, and there are two remaining issues now. Only one was cleared. The two issues that are remaining are, and Commissioner Henry's not here, but I'm sure we'll talk about it when he gets here, lack of segregation of duties and access rights. Those are the two that are still remaining outstanding that they haven't cleared up as of yet.
When was the audit?
The original audit? I don't have that information in front of me. I'm sorry.
I guess it was prior to 2022, huh?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because we're on 780. I'm sorry, we're 874 now. I know they had some issues with systems and things like that. And
what were the two remaining issues? Do you know right off?
Lack of segregation of duties.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Found that administration liens were still being submitted directly to municipal code compliance while the accounting division routed payments through the tax collectors as we recommended. So payments are still being remitted or paid directly to municipal code, and we had recommended they go to tax collector for minutes. And then access rights, we found 10 employees that were terminated between June of 2019 and September of 2022 that were not removed by the accounting division. Two of them had super access rights. And then while the accounting division has taken steps to address terminated employees, they still need to take steps to address employees gone to other areas.
The original audit was done in 2012.
Thank you, Jeff.
First follow-up in 2017, second follow-up in 2020. This is the third.
In a hurry, huh?
Then this one will go fast. Reports 875, 876, and 877 are all the Sheriff's Investigative Fund. These are for fiscal year, or report 875 is for fiscal year 2018-19, 876 is for fiscal year 19-20, and 877 is for fiscal year 2021. All three of these were, again, these are attestations, they are where we look at the Sheriff's Investigative Fund. We found really one internal control weakness. It was identified in 18-19, and then due to the retiming of the last report, it was corrected, and basically it was written policy of having detectives spend or return funds within 2 days. And detectives written policies need to found required funds obtained by detectives to be spent or returned within 2 working days. However, the sheriff's office stated this policy was not enforced due to the nature of special investigations. You know, they have the money. It might take longer than 2 days, so they don't return it. And then cash counts performed monthly by detectives were not clearly documented. Sheriff's office did confirm that cash on hand was physically counted, even though the support did not clearly evidence it. And then the sheriff's office was not tracking the transfer of funds between detectives and sergeant safes for special investigations. we recommended that the Sheriff's Office update its written policy for special investigative accounts to be concerned with, to be consistent with current practices, or enforce the, or enforce the current written policies. So if they think investigation is going to take longer than 2 days, then they need to change the parameters. If not, then enforce what you have. We confirmed that the policies surrounding special investigating accounts were updated on June 25th, 2021, which was after our scope of the current attestation. The Sheriff's Office still does require funds to be spent or returned within 2 working days. However, the remaining procedures have been adjusted to be consistent with all the other funds dispersed by sergeants. And that was really the only thing that we had found, and they had actually taken care of it. Those were done. 9 minutes, right? Report number 878 is the Council Auditor's 2023-24 budget summary report. It was released January 22nd. Basically, this report's a recap of the actions that were taken by the Finance Committee and the City Council during this past summer's budget hearings. You go through the report, it just shows what we had, what was done. It gives the budget summary. During the budget review process, we perform extensive analysis of revenue expenditures on a line item basis. Our review of the mayor's proposed budget resulted in recommendations that increased revenues by $4 million and reduced expenditures by $89,000, which created gross savings, totaling 4.1. These savings and the 7.5 set aside for City Council on the mayor's proposed budget were utilized to offset items with a negative impact that were identified during our review. So that's basically, it's just a quick summary of, but a summary of everything that happened over the summer. Questions on that one?
No, sir.
Report number 879, which is the Council Auditor's Office 2022-23. That's our annual report. It was released on January 22nd as well. It's a summary of what our office worked on over fiscal year 22-23. And the audit side, we issued 6 performance audit reports, which identified 52 findings, 19 internal control weaknesses, and 17 opportunities for improvements. Of the items easily quantifiable, the performance audits identified over $95,000 in lost revenues and $280,000 in reduced cost. We also issued 19 reports that were follow-ups on prior audits to determine whether our recommendations from the audits were implemented, and also staff assisted the external auditors on the audit of the city, preparing the annual financial statement, which saved the city over $50,000 because our auditors work on a per hour basis than public accounts auditors. So, plus it gives them good experience of seeing. On the legislative side, our office reviewed over 600 legislative bills. And then on special projects, we issued 6 special reports and conducted numerous other special projects throughout the year. The special reports included quarterly summary reports, the budget summary report, and then our annual office annual report. Just as an idea on the budget side, the report states, in addition to issuing reports and performing special projects and reviewing legislation, more than 3,600 staff hours were spent from July to September reviewing the proposed fiscal year 23-24 budget. So it takes up a large part of our time during that time as well. If there's no questions, that concludes what I have.
I'm good.
Okay.
So there's nothing more? Well, I guess at this meeting, I don't know if I need a motion, but
Just adjourn.
This meeting's adjourned. Now we'll prepare for the true commission.